You know, we sat down with Honolulu Mayor Kirk Caldwell earlier this week. He is preparing to turn over the reins of a job he admits he doesn't really want to give up. It has not always been easy trying to find solutions to our housing issues, whether it's addressing our homeless problem or the runaway illegal vacation rentals in our neighborhoods. We pick up the conversation that we had with him on this issue. The city just announced that it has an agreement with Expedia and Airbnb to share information about its operators to help the city in its efforts to crack down on the tens of thousands of illegal rentals here on Oahu.
The thing I like the most is they're going to provide us a list of all their vacation rentals. Department of Planning and Permitting will review it. And when they find illegal ones, they will notify the hosting platform and they'll take them off their list forever. In other counties, they have to rescrub it on a regular basis. In our case, if it's determined that that home or that apartment is in a legal vacation rental and they take it off, they've agreed under this memorandum of understanding not to put it back on again. So it gives us an ability to really manage where vacation rentals should be, where the legal ones are, which is in hotel and resort areas where they should be, and where they should not be, which is in residential areas, unless they have a non-conforming use certificate, of which there's less than 800. And they continue to drop every year because as places get sold, they don't want to rent their home as a vacation rental. And so that number will drop.
Do you wish you could have done more, you know, to tighten up and help with enforcement?
Well, I think this agreement will help tremendously. I think our enforcement has much improved, and we have issued many more notices of violation and got compliance. But I do think another step would be working to find a third-party vendor that could help also go out there and look at the different sites. We have agreements now with the two largest hosting platforms in the United States, but there are others who may be violating. So I do think, and I've been pushing Department of Planning and Permitting, they're looking at finding a third-party vendor to sign a contract with to help us become our eyes and ears to find those who are still renting their homes or their condo units illegally.
I know the governor has just announced his intention that they will have to furlough workers. Any thoughts about that?
You know, one of the things we're most proud of is our strong financial health at the city, which enables us, because of our rainy day fund and our planning for a downturn, it's resulted in us not having the furlough immediately. And I'm very proud of that. And that is to the credit of our budget and fiscal services folks, starting with our director, Nelson Koyonagi, and his deputy, Manny Valbuena, and many other departments. And we saw this coming when the pandemic struck in March. You know, we had just submitted our budget. We could have just left it with the council to figure out how to handle the pandemic impacts, but we took the budget back, made further cuts, and submitted a revised budget to the council that resulted in savings sufficient that for the remainder of this fiscal year that goes through the end of June of 2021, no furloughs need to be made, and I don't support them. I think this only has a more negative impact on our economy. We're talking a little under 10,000 city employees that, if they were furloughed, would have less money in their pocket, which means they're spending less in our economy, and it generates that downward spiral we want to avoid. So we have worked hard on that. We're also working to submit a balanced budget well before March. As you know, our term ends on the 2nd of January, but we're hoping to announce shortly that we're going to close this budget gap of about $400 million so that we will submit a balanced budget in the middle of December, even though it's not billed to March. And that's partly to turn over to Mayor-elect Rick Blangiardi a balanced budget for him to work on. Now, if he doesn't like how we balanced it, he can change it and unbalance it and rebalance. But we're trying to address our fiscal responsibility, and we're going to be able to balance this budget without furloughing. And so I'm proud of that again. I think we've managed very well the fiscal responsibility that comes with running this city. It is being conservative in cost, but we also have raised revenue, whether it be through Res A or other means, but not impacting the rank and file homeowners of the island of Oahu. Real property is our main revenue source.
Any thoughts on the homeless situation and what you've done or what you have left undone?
I don't know of a mayor in this country who's come up with a solution to the homeless challenge. We all share our experiences and we all add on to what each other is doing. But it is probably the most difficult problem I believe mayors face, and I think the incoming mayor will face the same challenges. You know, the pandemic, there will be a vaccine. It'll be widely distributed at some point, and then COVID-19 will go away, while the homeless challenges will remain. When I came into office in 2013, I didn't run away from homelessness. I didn't say it was a state issue. It's not a city issue. Previous mayors had argued that. I said it's an issue for the city and the state, and the city is going to do its part. And we developed a compassionate disruption approach. I know it's sometimes controversial. The disruption part comes with SIT-LIE, sidewalk nuisance ordinance, because providers told us that if you allow people to locate in public spaces with no consequence, they will continue to locate in those public spaces and not seek shelter or permanent supportive housing, which we strongly support. And you saw that in spades at Kakaaka Waterfront Park back in, you know, the middle of my term, when you had over 300 homeless folks in one dense location where there was violent crime being committed, where women were being raped, where there was theft, and when a representative of the house got beaten up. And that's unacceptable, and that's what happened with no enforcement. With enforcement, you saw a breaking up of that encampment. And with enforcement, when I came in, Thomas Square was occupied by homeless. It's now clear. Stadium Park was occupied homeless. It's now clear. Alamoana Beach Park was filled with homeless. It's now clear. Kakaaka Waterfront Park, Mother Waldron. It does not mean that there are not homeless in other areas in a more broken apart and in smaller groups. And I think it's actually safer when you have fewer people gathering together that are homeless. But that's the enforcement side. And by the way, we've cleared tons and tons and tons of material left by the homeless that would have created incredibly unsanitary conditions if left there. But on the compassionate side, you know, we adopted housing first, the first in the state. We believed in that model. President Obama adopted it. We jumped on it. And we purchased or built thousands of housing units for housing first, for housing the homeless. And in addition, you know, you covered stories, our Sand Island container housing with low barriers. You can come with your pets at any given time. There's 100 individuals out there. It's a navigation center where we help people get stabilized and then navigate them into shelter or permanent supportive housing. Kahoiki Village with the Oin Kurisu at Ke Lagoon, you know, we did a public-private partnership there. There's about 500, mostly women and children, living out there, supported by a preschool, a post office, and a store. The Punavai Rest Stop Hygiene Center, you know, that where the people can come in homeless and they can wash their clothes, use the dryer, take a shower, get their meals, zap their bedding for bed bugs, receive assistance for state IDs and other kinds of things. And now it's open 24/7 because of the pandemic. So you can come in the middle of the night and take a shower or get help. And then on top of this rest stop, is going to be shortly open up a medical treatment facility, first temporary and permanent by next summer, where those homeless who are injured or sick but don't need to go to an emergency room will be taken there to be treated. And then there's 22 rooms on the top two floors where they can be placed in the permanent supportive housing, where they can be stabilized and cared for instead of being put right back on the street where you sometimes see when you go up Punch Bowl. We have the Honu Mobile Homeless Housing Program, you know, that HPD started, a mobile unit that would go around and house folks in different parks for a short period of time. And when the pandemic struck, they turned it into POST out of Ke Lagoon. Initiated, run, and operated by HPD. It's an incredible program that we're very proud of. And then another, Montgomery Motors, is right next to our Punavai Rest Stop Hygiene Center, just around the corner, across from the IHS shelter. That's going to be completed this month. We'll be having a press conference shortly, and it will house homeless individuals. They'll provide meals, and they'll be cared for. It's a fairly large project. We're hoping that River of Life, that feeds in Chinatown, feeds homeless in Chinatown, will relocate out there. We're working with them now. I've left things out, but we've done a lot of very innovative, cutting-edge, never-seen-before-in-other-cities type projects. Not because of me as mayor, by the way. It's the group that we put together, whether it be the Department of Community Services, whether it be Mark Alexander and our homeless department, whether it be design and construction or land management with Sandy Fun, who helped acquire all these properties. It's a CACO thing, no silos, all hands on deck, a lot of compassion, a lot of innovation to help those who just can't find a way to get a house.
Can you say anything about your future political plans?
Well, I'm not ready to retire.
Okay.
I still have a lot of energy. I'm going to take a break. I'm going to go camp and fish at South Point. I'm going to go to the neighbor islands where I have a lot of friends and do a lot of hiking and camping on those islands and some surfing. I'm going to spend some time with my wife and daughter. I think we're going to go up to the volcano and relax up there. I'm going to work on a book or two. And then I'm going to be looking at the next job I want. And, you know, I like the executive level of government. You know, I served in the State House as majority leader. And I like the executive side more than the legislative side. Legislative side is a blast. It's a lot of hearings, a lot of talking, a lot of voting. The executive side is about a lot of doing. And I prefer that side of things. And I have appreciation. You know, I'm lucky enough, Catherine, in my life, you know, I've worked at, in all three levels of government. You know, I worked for Dan Inouye in Washington, D.C. on the federal level. I worked here in the legislature on a state level. And then I was the managing director and mayor on the city level. And in all three branches, I clerked for the Chief Justice, William S. Richardson. So I saw the judicial side. You know, I've seen the legislative side serving in the House of Representatives. I've seen the executive side from serving as the mayor. So I get I love government. I love democracy. I love the push and pull of all three branches and all three levels. And I think I can serve in a larger capacity helping the state of Hawaii, which I love beyond any other place in the world.
That was Kirk Caldwell taking stock of what he's been able to accomplish as a Honolulu mayor over these last 8 years. He is looking forward to some quiet time before he decides whether he will run for governor. Well, that's it for us. Thanks for joining the conversation on this Aloha Friday.